Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Rain hitting areas out there and all that, but they decide to brave it and take chances anyway and come out and have a little bit of wine. We have a guest tonight, Jessica Coogan, I think, or Coogan of, or Coggan maybe, of Connect the Dots Collective. We'll have her tell you all about that and everything. Mike isn't with us tonight. Mike is under the weather, no pun intended. He left work early today, not feeling well, and went home and is resting and recuperating and recovering so he can go one more day to work this week. So he's not up to doing the show with us, which means that this isn't on Facebook right now or any of the other platforms that he connects us to right before we go on air. So if you're trying to find us on Facebook for this show, you're out of luck. It's not there. If you want to listen to the show, you can always tune in on Saturday at noon on his flightlineradio.com and listen to him from 10 to noon, and then this program will be played again at noon on Flightline Radio. So our guest is in the green room. Let's get her out here and talk to her. Welcome to All About Wine, Jessica.
Thanks for having me on, Ron. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well. And yourself?
I'm good. What have you been up to these days?
Well, you know, since I don't have much to do except play golf, I've been playing golf. But it's been raining, much needed rain here in Florida, so I'm not playing as much. But it's hot. It's Florida. What can I say?
which side are you on?
Just north of Tampa.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you're getting pretty hard now, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It's in fact, we're in a drought right here where I'm located. The drought that's been lasting for a couple years now with lack of rain, although they are predicting the rains to start doing. We have normal afternoon patterns where it forms in the middle of the state and then moves west over us. So it's predicted that that's coming back and we should be getting our normal summer rains, hopefully, and get back into the regular pattern. Is it, you guys have been having your fair share of strange weather there this year too?
Yeah, I mean, I would say we have been very, as you probably well know, there's been, you know, for years, we did not have enough rain.
Right.
And then basically been two years of just solid nonstop rain. So so super grateful for all the rain. And at the same time, like, obviously, because, you know, for four solid years of not enough rain, still a lot of detritus everywhere, despite all the awesome weather of lots of rain. So, yeah, I mean, as we all know, the weather patterns around the world have been kind of crazy. And it's obviously being talked about quite a bit in all of our trade publications about what it means. vis-a-vis quality and changes in style, et cetera. So it'll be interesting to see what happens because it's really hard to say what is going to happen right now.
I've been reporting just about every week on the show some serious hail and bad winds and all that somewhere in the world. It's all the time. Something going on with, storms going through or high winds going through or hail destroying crops. And it's been horrible everywhere. Some places, last week I was talking about some hail storms that went through, where was it? Oh, geez, I got a blank. But they said that they've lost like 80% of their crop because it's a horrible time of year for this to happen, right at bud break and everything. So
it's fascinating. I just totally, your show is about wine, but what I found particularly interesting, I heard, I think I was listening to a podcast. I don't know if it was for like a news, I can't remember which one, but they had talked about the issue of homeowners insurance related to these weather events in the United States. Really trans. I mean, obviously you live in Florida, so you're probably like, you guys are kind of ground zero, but they were saying that it's actually more the Midwest. Is this fascinating?
Well, what happens too is, a tornado goes through the Midwest and destroys a 20-mile stretch of homes. It affects everybody's insurance because a lot of these companies are all over the United States, and when it affects one area, they raise the prices in other areas. Insurance here is ridiculous. The tornadoes, and we've had insurers leave the state, and the ones that are still here had to jack up the prices to cover everything, and it's crazy.
Really?
Everybody's talking about how, we can't afford insurance, and I get the San Francisco Chronicle online, and I read that because it's got a lot of wine news in it, and so I keep up on that. But they've been talking a lot too about homeowners insurance in San Francisco and how it's pricing some people out. It's insane. So,
I would think that is more in Napa, Sonoma, because of the fire issues, right? I mean, more kind of, going in, east of California, in California.
Right.
So it is a definite issue. So then we could go off, we could go on and on about, like, does it make sense to buy a house? Does it?
Really. Yeah. And where are you going to buy it? And you don't look at the price of the house, you look at the price of insurance. And I mean, it's just, it's all sorts of factors there,
Right. It is fascinating because we're coming up on a generation of young adults who, the dream has always been, buy a house, American dream, blah, blah. And like, well, what does that now become?
And what's so crazy too is there's rent prices are outrageous because the owners of properties that they're renting have to cover their insurance bills. And, they say, okay, rent this house. And it used to be, well, we'll cover garbage and we'll cover water and we'll cover electricity and we'll cover cable. And then they start knocking those things off because they can't afford it now because all those prices went up. And so they kick back on those. And it's just, it's a horrible swirl we're in to, especially young people, like you say, trying to find something that's reasonable. And yet, the American dream, I think, is being shot a little bit in some areas because of that. So.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. But Florida is still affordable, right?
Yeah, except for insurance. My insurance last year, homeowners insurance quadrupled. And we're not really in a dangerous area, but it's just so many of the insurance companies left And so we have to take what we can get. And and so same thing. I have a grandson who bought a house, and his insurance payment monthly is almost what he has for mortgage payments monthly. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That is really interesting. That actually is fascinating. And what are his thoughts on the economics of that? Like, do you set, like, when you are ready to sell, like, is your homeowner's insurance going to be, like, sober? Do you know, like, it's so many open questions. Can we solve this in an hour?
Yeah. Well, the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, has been doing, last year he started to have panels and stuff and passing things to try to lower insurance. But it's one of the things that caused our insurance to go high. And I guess the listeners who are not in Florida don't understand this. But one of the things, the way the insurance was set up here in Florida, if any damage or anything happened to, say, your roof, you would contact your insurance agent, and your insurance agent would co-sign the repairs and everything to the roofing company. So the roofing company would come in and charge way too much to fix that roof and just submit it directly to the insurance company. And it was too much money. It was just getting out of hand what they were charging. So the governor said, okay, we need to do something about this. So he put a cap on it, which isn't, you know, still hasn't helped a lot, but it's helped some. But it's just, you know, crazy things like that needs to be controlled. And I think it's, you know, there's ways that some of these people find a path around laws that help save money so they can get more, and then it still ends up hurting the homeowner. So, it's a vicious cycle, I'm afraid.
It really is. I'm like a little concerned. I'm hearing regulation out of your mouth from a Floridian.
Oh, yeah. It needs to be done, especially how much our homeowners insurance went up. And we've never had claims. We've been here for 15 years, and we've never had any claims or anything. And then all of a sudden, the insurance company we had sent us letters saying, we are dropping you. And it was for no other reason than the fact that we can. And so they did, and we had to find somebody else. And it's just not us. It's all over the place here.
So
we got that solved.
I'm glad that we have.
Yes, me too. Mike is usually my co-host here. Mike is under the weather, so he's not with us tonight. Mm-hmm. But Mike doesn't say too much anyway. He sits in the background and takes care of the tech stuff and all that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he has any questions, he takes notes and posts stuff on Twitter and anything else now, so people out there can, you know, follow us. But he's not here tonight. That's what you heard me at the beginning of the show, telling people if they want to hear this show, tune in to Flightline Radio, which Mike hosts, and he always rebroadcasts a show there. So you will be replayed times, and you go into archives, and you'll be there forever. So just let you know what's going on there. Connect the dots. Before we get into that, tell me about you, and then I'll let you tell me about Connect the Dots.
Sure. So, how long have you been covering wine?
I've been involved with wine personally since, 1974. Started to get interested in wine. I lived out in Concord, California, just east of San Francisco. And I had a very good friend of mine at the time ask if I knew anything about wine. And I said my knowledge of wine was limited to it comes in a big jug and you don't drink too much of it because you'll get sick. So he said, would you like to learn? And he taught me, and he taught me very well. He did an excellent job. I will be forever grateful to him. He has since passed away, but I'll be forever grateful to him for his knowledge and sharing his knowledge and passed on to me. We used to take trips up to Napa and Sonoma just about every week. I got, this was, again, back in the mid-70s, so I got a little bit more intimate at the time, Napa. It wasn't crazy like it is now. And I was able to, you know, expand a lot of knowledge, and I stayed up on wine and talked about it to people and all that, and had a winery here in Florida for 14 years, and then started this program All About Wine back in 2009, and been doing that ever since. So I asked you to tell me about you, and you asked me to tell me about me, and I talked about me. Now it's your turn.
I am fascinated by how we all come to wine, because I think there are people who, of course, like go to school and they you know, go to school to become winemakers. You know, recently over the last, you know, 15 to 20 years, Sonoma State has had specific programs for the business of wine, but it was rare. I mean, it was rare. So to have started in the 70s, as you did, it was really kind of like the beginning.
Yeah, of what it is now. Yeah,
it was the beginning of a movement in this country towards a beverage that we all have known about, we all knew about, but making it, I think, more relevant and available and accessible to adults, and also like creating this incredible journey. And I'll be honest, like I came to wine totally by accident, as a lot of people, I would say, in my cohort, it wasn't yet a real practice. I never intended to be in the industry. My desire was always to work in kind of luxury CPG. I worked in the fashion industry for a few years, launched. I launched a designer brand with this incredible designer, Donna Karen. From there, kind of did a lot of more kind of product brands, kind of fashion specific work. In cosmetics, relaunched Elizabeth Arden, launched Urban Decay, a cosmetics line back in the day, relaunched Dr. Scholl's exercise sandals, which I know you wore in the 70s.
Everybody did.
And did all that kind of stuff. And it was super fun. But then I really got into, really, really fascinated by the internet, really fascinated by the democratization of information. And that really led me to the path of getting into the wine business. And you're like, but how does the internet have anything to do with wine? And it, at the time, it really didn't. And I was working at a company called Razorfish, where we did web design and development. And I primarily worked with big fashion companies, building out just kind of their stationary websites. And then I did some very large transactional implementations, building the first transactional site with a fantastic team of young people. We were all pretty young in the day. For Schwab.com, so that you could trade online stocks, which was like a total novelty. I don't know if you remember calling your broker on the phone, but Schwab completely changed that, and because it was powered through the internet. And so I moved out to San Francisco. I met Cameron, and he came from the wine industry. He grew up in Modesto. He had a dream of making really incredible high-end wine accessible at a really fair price point. And I had a dream of just starting a company. And that's really how it all came together. And so we launched a wine company called Cameron Hughes Wine. And at one point we were, I think the largest supplier-driven direct-to-consumer business in the wine industry for a good 5 years. And then we were acquired by Vintage Wine Estates, And at Vintage Wine Estates, we became part of a larger company that was acquiring many vineyards and many different businesses. And I was there, you know, I was going to leave Cameron Hughes Wine, but then I ended up staying at Vintage and ended up working with the president of the company, who is Terry Wheatley, who is also the founding partner of Connect the Dots. And just had really an incredible experience growing, like overseeing their direct-to-consumer business and growing it from what CHW was, about $20 million business, to $120 million business in about 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember when wine started to become internet friendly, and it changed the whole face of wine, actually, wine buying and wine shopping, because you didn't have to run down to the store and go through the shelves and all that and try to figure out what things were. You can just go into the internet and find things you liked and see what was in it and what was made and all that. And it really, as far as I was concerned, revolutionized the shopping of wine.
I totally agree in the way that it, like, just I think, you know, the intimidation of shopping in stores, at least in states where there's lots of, you know, items on a shelf, and you don't really understand the difference between any of them, and it's not toothpaste, not soap, and it's not yogurt, but it's like all these different, and it's expensive, you know, it's a discretionary purchase, and you're just like, what do I do? There's no impression. I don't know what to do. And I think the internet was just like such, you know, it was just such a revelation for so many consumers who were interested, who have been interested or wanted to, like, take their journey further in wine. It has made a huge difference.
Well, so many people go to the store and they start looking at all that stuff, and instead of picking up something new, they go back to their default wine, which I tell people, get away from your default wine. There are lots of others there, but people are so, I know this wine, why should I buy those ones? But the internet comes along, and you can set it at home, and you can look at these other wines and not have to buy your default wine every time. And it's a great innovative thing that happened when all the wines went on the internet. So I thought it was fantastic myself. And wineries, you know, wineries themselves too, when they started to put all their stuff online and they started to sell and everything. I mean, I've talked to lots and lots of wineries, and every one of them say, you know, you can order from us, you can go online, you can do this. And everybody has their websites, and everybody has their second business online, as opposed to coming into the winery or even trying to attempt to come into a winery. So yeah, I think it's great. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think, you know, it's been so interesting. I'm sure you're so aware of the conversation that has been ongoing for the last, you know, 20 so years, specific to distributors concerned about losing market share and control of their supply, right? Et cetera, and the supplier just wanting to be able to have a relationship with consumers, right? And I think that what I hope we have all learned and that we are all seeing is that the more distribution points you have, the better it is. Like, whether it's in a physical store, whether it's in a tasting room, whether it's on a website, whether it's on a retailer's website, if you can create availability to the customer of your wine wherever they shop, that is a win for everybody.
And even the distributors, and they don't understand that. I mean, if I start finding a new wine I like and I happen to be in a store and I pick it up there, that's went to a distributor. They're going to get their share of the revenue from that. And they, like you say, they panic because, well, we can't do this. You can't ship it directly to the customer and all this other stuff. And they're starting to realize that it doesn't cut into their profits greatly. So,
But what actually it does is actually boost their business because what they begin to see is that consumers buy more of that wine. Right.
Exactly.
And so I think it's just, it's been very interesting. I probably would say that there may be some distributors who don't agree with what I'm saying right now, but I see it with how consumers think about wine, and how they want to engage with wine. The more that you limit it, the less excited they are about getting engaged with wine, which is, you know, one of the issues of this next generation.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I'm not a big distributor fan. So, you know, I having a winery and having, you know, this, you know, the three license and all that other stuff and everything else. Actually, I owned all three licenses when I had the winery. So I was one of the rare few was able to get all three licenses. So, but distributors would come in and say, well, you can't do that. You got, you know, well, yeah, they I don't know. I'm not a distributor fan.
I think that, you know, it's just there is necessary reform. And as with any business, there's always necessary reform. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think it really is like we have to think about the consumer. And that's it. Like the consumer should rule and the consumer should decide. And my hope is that through the democratization of information, that the consumer will win. And I think we're beginning to see that a little bit.
And I agree. And without the consumer, you don't have any business anyway. So you need to do a little bit of catering to the consumer to keep them happy.
Yeah.
In 2023, you were named top woman in retail tech. That's really, kudos to you. That's really quite an honor.
Thank you. Yeah, I know it's bizarre to think of tech in the wine industry. it is actually not that weird to the extent that when you think about technology that's used in the industry, the highest level of tech is used in production, like the best of the best, you know, fermentation protocols and processes and, you know, supply lines and, you know, gear and, you know, technical capacities and whatnot and, you know, software automations, like in the production of wine. I know it's not romantic, but as you well know, it does happen. Like it's really critical to be thinking, especially like we were talking about early in our conversation, you know, with the changes in weather and, you know, these things have impact. And the way to understand and kind of overcome is to have technology inside of your production process. And the industry has always been pretty good about that. What they've been really bad about is applying technology towards the customer and how to make life easier for them, how to help them pick, how to help them connect, how to help them feel like they aren't like in, you know, like the Wizard of Oz, like sitting, you know, behind the, you know, the in front of the curtain wondering like what am I going to drink today because I just don't know what it is. And so I feel that my role in the industry, especially in what I do, is using technology to bring the message to consumers who are interested in wine, want to kind of develop their journey in wine, and also not feel so anxious and overwhelmed by it, which the industry is very good at doing.
I think that's changing, but you're right. It's always been this mystique about wine and how it's made and what's in it and all that stuff. I mean, like the big movement of putting ingredients on the label. I'm against that too, because we don't want a fold out label. You know, I mean, have barcode's coming to mind, but not a barcode, but having it so people can scan it if they want to go to the site and have it there. But you're saying that all this stuff goes on in the production of it. If you're doing all of this, the big movement now seems to be regenerative, biodynamic, all this stuff out there. Are you familiar with all this since you're making
I'm
websites?
Familiar with it, but that is not my area of expertise. I understand it. I understand the technology and the applications that they use, but I focus on the customer side, you know, the buying public.
Well, you know, people are interested in that stuff. That's why I'm asking, because this has become such a big movement now, and people are interested. Is this organic? Is this biodynamic?
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, to put this in front of them, to let them know that, I look on websites, and I think I look on websites, and I'm always trying to find stuff that's biodynamic. I'm always trying to find stuff that's regenerative and organic, and you know, I mean, all these other things that they have now. And a lot of the websites, really, they might have a little paragraph saying we are regenerative and let it go at that. I don't think they're publishing it enough or explaining it enough so consumers can understand what's going on with it. It's
right.
I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. I just
I think there are a lot of wineries that do that. I think it is. I don't think that there's a body that has agreement on kind of uses of language and terminology other than sustainability. And what does sustainability mean? And I do think that consumers are interested in whether it's organic or not organic. But I do think that that is in my experience, a much smaller portion of the current interested wine drinking public. I would say first and foremost, like, they are very interested in sustainability practices. And, you know, what is the winery doing? What does the wine company do to run a sustainable vineyard? You know, how are they, you know, what are their water practices? What are the water rights? You know, what are they doing to ensure there aren't chemicals? You know, these types of questions. And
right.
I don't think it's the first question that is on the mind of most consumers when they are just looking to enter wine, and or even in like the midpoint of their journey. It feels like that comes a little bit later at this moment in time.
Well, you're more in touch with the consumer on that aspect than I am. So, yeah, I can't argue with that. It may be later on there, but a lot of the wineries that I talk to are very proud of the fact that they are doing sustainable practices, or they're organic, or they're regenerative, or, you know, any number of alphabet things that are out there now.
It is actually incredible what wineries, their processes. I am far from an expert in this area, and I know many, many winemakers who can speak way better than I can on this front, but it feels like California wineries have always been on the front end of innovating sustainability practices in, you know, the agrarian economy, quite frankly. It is farming. Vineyard ownership is farming, and vineyard management is farming. And it feels, you know, and it is water intensive. And especially in California, as we just talked about at the beginning of the show, you know, there have been water, there are major problems in California.
Drought, yeah.
They also have been on the cutting edge. And it is something they absolutely should be so genuinely incredibly proud of. Because they're innovators, they really are.
Yeah, it's something that I try to promote as much as I can on the show. There's just a lot of stuff out there that is just well, you know, the green planet that we're looking at right now and what everything is doing, some of these wineries are actually doing more in their little wineries than some countries are doing. I mean, it's just amazing the amount of stuff that they're doing. So your job is to do websites for wineries?
Well, yeah. So my job really is to, I would say, look at wine companies, suppliers. Really, I work with Connect, as because we're talking about Connect the Dots. At Connect the Dots, we're a company with two parts. We are an advisory, and we are also a brand innovation firm. On the advisory side, what I do, my specialty is digital transformation. And I'm sure you've heard that word used like in a million different contexts in a million different ways. And really what that I help suppliers in adult beverage utilize technology to connect with customers in the most simple, if that means building a amazing website that is super user friendly, that brings like joy and happiness to a customer and they convert and buy something, that's a win, right? Okay. If we use technology to publish their product information to their retailers like Safeway or Ralph's or H-E-B or Kroger or even, you know, the independents like a K&L or, you know, the, you know, anything. And that excites and delights a customer. That's what I, that, then we have won. That's the work I do, which is really, does that make sense? Yeah.
So it does. Like it could, that's your goal. That's your goal.
It could be emails. It could be digital advertising. It could. It's really anything where a customer may be spending their time in the digital space where we can get our information in front of them.
Something to catch their eye.
And, something to catch their eye. But the my specialty is really like where I really – I think the value add is really the connection between the digital and the physical. So I'm really good at helping suppliers understand what they have to do digitally to connect with a customer, but to really bring that relationship around to the physical space. So what does that mean? I help them find a customer through whatever digital initiative that we may be focusing on, but the end result is them connecting with the customer in person.
Oh,
whether it be through a tasting, you know, like a, you know, a winemaker event in Tampa, Florida, a tasting event in your local Publix, a special wine club event, where you can invite lots of friends at your local Pottery Barn, like wherever it is. It's about using that digital information to connect the customer to you also in the physical space.
Okay. Well, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, that you try to set up anywhere on any platform to get people connected with it. I mean, it's not just, you don't just, well, yeah, you do. You go on the internet and try to get everybody together that way, but it's through any venue. And let people know too that we're talking about wine because the show is, quote, all about wine, but but you also do beers and liquors and other things, everything that's connected with alcohol, I guess.
That's correct. Anything in adult beverage. And again, like, I mean, as you owned your own, you had three licenses and you had your tasting room, et cetera. I mean, at the end of the day, what adult beverage is about in many ways is about connection, right?
Correct.
It's about the moments of connection. And I really like to think that, you know, there is this very, like, everyone, we all like to swing left and right. Like, oh, it's all digital. Oh, it's all physical. Oh, it's, you know, like, I actually inhabit the world of it is both. And they are together. And if you are spending, like, 90% of your day on your phone, you need 10% of that time to spend offline. And why wouldn't you want to spend it with the winery that comes to you in your local community to come hang out with you because you just engaged with us online?
Very good. Yes, that's true. I see that. So, again, be it winery or brewery or anything on that. So you take care of that in the event. You know, connect the dots. We're connecting the dots here, but you also have others. Now, Terry Wheatley is the founder of this company.
Yes.
And you said you've been working with her previously for some time.
Yeah. So I, yeah, no, I worked. Do you know Terry?
No, I don't. I think we before, though. I for some reason, it rings a bell. But no, I don't recall, really.
You would love her. She is, she's been in the business for many, many years. She cut her teeth at Gallo in the 70s.
Oh.
And has been, you know, along the ride and has risen, you know, from secretary to president of a publicly traded wine company. And
wow.
on the wholesale sales side. And she's just kind of a genius. And it really is just an absolute joy to work with somebody who is just so phenomenally brilliant when it comes to creativity in an industry that really, really needs it. And so she put together Connect the Dots with the idea of helping the industry connect the dots in what in literally how do you connect amazing brands to customers and for it to resonate and make a difference in their lives. And when she asked me to join the company, I was like, all the way I'm in. But is it okay if I also sit on some boards? And she was like, of course, of course, of course. And I'm like, because you know that I love to support people in the wine industry that are doing crazy things, like trying to build companies that, you know, supplier companies that are going to sell exclusively online and, you know, tell wholesalers that they don't need them. And she's like, of course, of course. And so I just joined the board of this incredible brand. And I'm telling you, I really, really hope that you and your listeners go try it. It's called Nomadica. And what I love about Nomadica is that the wine is off the hook incredible, packaged in what we would call sustainable packaging, in cans and in Tetra Packs. And it's not photo box. It is not black box wine. It is not, like, you know, full of fillers and crap. It is legitimately some of the best wine I've ever had. And
that,
totally,
that is
what,
spell it out. So
Nomadica. So, like, think of a nomad, like a person who's, like, walking around in the desert trying to find their way, and with an ICA, Nomadica. And it's, like, basically a person who's looking for another, for a way to connect with the world in a much more meaningful way. And to me,
yes,
that is
com.
Like, what?
Is,
no, it's explorenomadica.com.
For explore?
No, no, just like explore, explorenomadica.com.
Okay, just so
and,
everybody knows out there. So, you know, you're promoting it, but they need to get a hold of it. So, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. Fair enough. Fair enough. And explorenomadica.com.
Okay.
And I believe that this brand, along with the brands that we're going to create at Connect the Dots, is going to truly galvanize the industry. Because
that's quite a statement.
I really genuinely believe that, and we can talk in 20 years, and we'll look back and see if this conversation really did change everything, because I think. We talked about sustainability and kind of the biodynamic farming and organic, right, and how so many winemakers and vineyard owners are very proud of these practices. And
right,
yet it feels like the consumer is a little bit deaf to that. I mean, I was saying that, it's just not a primary message that most consumers who are on their journey right now, it's not like the first message. Because what we're serving them is wine in the same way. Like, they're
right,
just not quite, they're not looking for it. They're like, okay, well, it's just wine again in a glass bottle. And so I think wine delivered in different ways, in sustainable ways that are obvious, right? That are like, wait, this isn't in a glass bottle. This is different.
Mm-hmm.
This is special. Opens up the conversation to that bigger idea. And it makes it much more engaging and much more interesting and much more relevant to consumers who are looking to buy into the wine journey.
I think that's why wine in a can is exploding on the market now, because it's something that people, especially the younger generation of drinkers, can relate to in a can as opposed to the wine bottle, which is heavy and big and awkward. And you can pick up a 4-pack of cans and say, oh, mm-hmm, this is pretty good. I mean, it's just a different mindset when you do it. And so you're right, just a different approach to wine when
mm-hmm
you start using different containers and stuff too. So,
well, it's just, you're just also, it's like you're more relevant. You're like meeting them where their lives are, like where they are living their lives, how
mm-hmm
they are living their lives. And then just like in wine, you then kind of help them progress to the next level. And it's just a great entry level way to engage in the business and in such a healthier way. I mean, you see
right
these, young adults drinking like White Claw and, just crappy for your body drinks that they think because it's low, it's 100 calories, that it's good for you, malted, blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
right,
wine is awesome. Wine is the original awesome. And same amount of calories, no sugar. I mean, it just is preposterous that the wine industry isn't winning this.
You're right.
It's insanity. And so you have companies like Nomadica that are taking it on. And the wine is exceptional.
Oh, very good. Well, I'll mention that, and I'll put it up on our Facebook page also.
I'm going to send you some.
Oh, okay. That sounds great.
The benefits of broadcast.
Yeah, so we've got it on broadcast, so we know now. I'll email my address to David, and he'll pass it on to you. Terry is one of four. We've got Jenna?
Yep, Jenna.
Jenna and Stephanie you're also,
yep,
the foursome on there. What are their part in Connect the Dots?
Yeah, so Jenna is wholesale marketing, traditional wholesale marketing, and Stephanie is experiential. So she is all about the environment and creating memorable in-person experiences. And so we all, in our unique way, we're all experts in kind of the key domains of adult beverage and specifically wine. And together, we are able to really help suppliers really blast off pretty hard.
Mm. All right. So connect the dots. It's the company itself. Describe, connect the dots. I mean, it's, you've told us the people in it, what you do, all that. But if someone's going to say, what is connect the dots? What would your answer be?
Well, I mean, it's a female driven, professional advisory and brand creation and innovation firm where we do distribution. So we work like, I guess I would call it like McKinsey. We do like McKinsey style consulting on everything from supply chain to, you know, to digital transformation for very, very, like for a very limited group of clients. And then the other 50% of the time, 50% of our effort is geared towards creating our own brands that we distribute into the industry. And currently we're developing two products that are CBD infused, and they taste amazing.
Huh. Wow. CBD infused. Oh, okay. So you mentioned – you distribute. Now, I'm confused. You get wines from different wineries and different breweries and different liquor spirits and all that, and you send them out, you distribute them to a limited clientele?
No. We produce our own.
Do you?
And we produce our own, we create our own brands. And then we work with a supply partner who helps us produce it. And then we work with distributors to distribute it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're like another niche in the whole clog of everything. Well, you create your own brands. That means that you have wineries, you have distilleries, you have breweries.
We don't own. Oh, no. I mean, we'll engage with, we'll work with, we'll hire, but if it fits what we're looking for. But think of it as a negotiant model.
Oh, okay. Now, say a winery or any of the others are listening to the show right now, a winery, because we're all about wine, and they say, oh, these people sound great. I want them to be my contact, my distributor. Would you take new people in, or do they have to meet certain standards?
We don't distribute products. We don't distribute brands for other people, but we will work with, I mean, right now we have a full bench of clients. I'll always take calls. I'll always respond. But we will provide to clients like support and ideas and go-to-market strategies and ways to connect to the industry in a way that they are finding no connection.
Oh, okay. So you would help anyone who reaches out to you and says, I need help. You would you would jump in there and do it, not particularly as a distributing their products or anything, but you would help them get everything together so that they will reach the people out there in a more efficient manner.
Let's just use a simple example that probably your audience knows. Like a supplier wants to get into Whole Foods.
Okay.
And it has evaded them for the last 10 years. They can't get in. And this is their mission. They want to get into Whole Foods. They don't know how to do it. They've been trying. Their distributor's doing nothing for them. And they are at a loss. And that is, they would call us up. And if we have the bandwidth, we will help guide them and support them and get them to their objective.
Oh, okay. So you you connect the dots.
We literally connect the dots. I know. Literal meaning.
Yeah. We brought that full circle.
Yeah, we really did. I feel like that's the wine.
Yeah. That was pretty simple there. Wow. Fantastic. So you guys have, you're really a pretty new company yourself, though. You just formed, what, in 23 or 22?
Yeah, formed last, really, we're basically almost a year old. But, you know, combined, you know, we all have a lot of experience in the industry. And as you well know, it is, can be a small industry. So when we went off to start this business, it was super exciting to see the response. We have been nonstop. It's very exciting because we get to work with projects and with colleagues that we have such respect for, and we choose what we get to do, and that is a real blessing.
Yeah, and something you enjoy. That's just something you can't, you know, when you find something you enjoy as much as you obviously do, then it's something that, you know, you like getting up in the morning and going to work because of it. You know, so that's fantastic.
Super, super lucky. It's been real fun, and I mean, I get to spend an hour talking about like what I love to do with you.
Yeah.
It really is a gift.
And you know, and that's you can tell when you talk to people how much they enjoy what they do, because they you can hear it in their voice, and obviously you do enjoy what you do, and have been enjoying what you do over the years. You say distribute. I'm going back to the distributor again. Your Nomadica brand, is that something that people can only get through you?
Explore Nomadica. So if you go to explorenomadica.com, you can buy the wine online.
Oh.
And have it sold and have it shipped directly to you. Obviously, not for those states that are still
In the Stone Age.
I think like we're talking about Arkansas, Utah, you know.
Alabama, Kansas. We can name them.
It's super well distributed in California, the western side of the U.S., and is now launching on the East Coast, and to amazing reception. The business is just rocking and rolling. I'm just telling you, this is the next movement, as you know. This generation is looking for a different way.
I'm excited about Nomadica. That's something that I will contact David and give him my address if you're going to send me. Please send me information. I mean, just, you know, throw brochures or whatever into the box. And I will bring it all up on a program and let people know about it. So if anyone wants to get in touch with you or connect the dots for any reason, give me contact information. If you're on Facebook, that, if your website on X, I guess it's not Twitter, X. And
it's just ctdcollective.net. You can find us on LinkedIn. Just do a search on Connect the Dots. You can find us. I'm not that much on Instagram. We haven't really built a handle on Instagram for Connect the Dots. The best way would be to go to LinkedIn, and my email, if you want to reach out to me, is jessica@ctdcollective.net.
There you go. All right. Fantastic. It was exciting talking with you today. Really a great concept. It's something that I wish someone had thought about a long time ago, because obviously it's something that the business needs, and it's something that is going to explode. I think you're going to be having to get more ladies to work with you over the years here. So
we can't wait, and I agree with you. The time has come, and it really has been a real pleasure talking to you about it today.
Thank you so much, Jessica, for taking your time out to talk with me and on All About Wine. And we'll hopefully maybe sometime in the future here, as I follow Connect the Dots, which I do follow a lot of the people I talk to on, you know, check and see what they're doing. As you guys start expanding, maybe we can get together again and talk about the journey up to then.
Love to do that.
All right, Jessica, have yourself a wonderful evening. Thank you again for joining us on All About Wine.
Of course. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye now. All right. There we go. Jessica from Connect the Dots. And great concept, great idea. And it's, you know, being in the wine business, stuff like that really does make a difference, something that they can work with. There's back when I was, the winery was about 6 years old, we started to talk to a grocery store chain and almost got into it. But the thing is, with grocery store chains or with any of these chains or anything like that, they change personnel so often. They don't keep one person in one position for a long time. And we would almost get where we wanted to be. And then all of a sudden we were stuck with not being able to get anybody because they change people. So Connect the Dots would be something that we could really use. So again, thank you, Jessica. It was a great, great conversation. Engineer brought me in a wine. I'm going to tell you about it before we get off the air here. It is a Chateau St. Michel Gewürztraminer. I like Gewürztraminers. You've probably seen these on the shelf. Gewürztraminer. Gewürztraminer. It is a hint of sweetness to it. This particular one has a little bit of sweetness to it. A great wine to go with some odd end things that you're not sure. I don't want a red. I don't want a white. What should I do? Pick up a Gewürztraminer and try it. This has, like I say, a hint of sweetness to it. Real light color, light straw color. Real clean. Little bit of legs on it. Not a lot. It's got some little bit of apricot and peachy undertones to it. It is how much alcohol? Let me see if I can turn on light and see here. Well, it has to say, where is it? Maybe on the back here. Geez, I can't find where the alcohol level is. 12.5% alcohol, real light print. That's what I can see it. It's a 2019 Columbia Valley Gewürztraminer. Very nice. Get a chance. Chateau St. Michel. And it is reasonably priced, so go out and find yourself one. That's it for All About Wine tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for taking the time out. Again, I don't think we were on Facebook, but the program will be repeated on Mike's Radio Flightline. radio.com, Mike's show right after he's on live from 10 to noon, and then All About Wine will be on at noon, and then 1st and 15th, another really funny show by Cap and Phil. So if you haven't heard that, that's another interesting show to listen to. Just, you know, they talk, and you know, rather funny humor. So check that out also. And we'll see you next week. I don't think we have a guest next week. We do the week after, but I don't think we have one next week. But tune in to us. We will see you next week. be safe out there. And, oh, happy Father's Day. All of you daddies out there, Father's Day is coming up. So happy Father's Day. And be safe. Bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.